All right, welcome to episode 5 of season 1. Today is New Year's Eve of 2024. About to see the new year of 2025. I'm Alex Bauer with my best friend Kyle. This is This and That Podcasting Podcast. We are officially on Spotify and officially on Apple Podcasting, so you can catch us on either of those. It's great to say that. Oh my gosh, I got real nervous there saying
that.
Yeah,
it's been nice. Happy New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's Eve.
Oh boy,
how was your week?
It was great. We went up to Michigan, spent time with the family, got to see my grandmother, got to see my uncles, aunts, you know, all that.
You got to see some snow too. So
it's great to travel all over. Yeah. Oh yeah. There's definitely snow the whole time. So yeah, it was great to go up there, be up there for basically half a week, and then did Christmas here in North Carolina with my mom's side of family too.
Back to like 75 degrees.
So it was definitely well spent. What about
boring
you, buddy?
Week. Pretty much just work since I'm going out of town on the second, so I've saved up some leave for that one instead of this one this past week. So just stayed at home.
Yeah.
Did a bunch of this and that things. Just chilled.
Just chilled. Word. All right. Well, week in review today. I got a few things to go back, you know, past our week that we had off here, my top five, just so you know. But it's a later one, so that's because I feel like these were more recent and they were more noticeable. My number one, I'm obviously, you know, drinking on my blue Kool-Aid, Lions 40 to 49ers 34, like...
I mean, you got to.
That was the game to watch.
Was
on my freaking edge of my seat the whole game.
Pretty much trailed the whole game.
Nervous, and then I was throwing my hat everywhere that I just got for Christmas. Obviously, Kyle's looking at it right now. And he's just like, "That's a stupid hat."
I'll cheer for Detroit. He's still Michigan. It sucks that a Michigan kicker had to cause you guys to win.
Yeah, Jake Moody did a lot of favors.
Money Moody
did not
look good in that one.
He was not on the money.
Yeah, I actually have Detroit 49ers on my list. That was on my five because I figured you were gonna put them at one. So I was just like, oh, we'll just get that one out of the way. I know you're gonna talk about it. I'm like with you. A lot of my games are more of like recent. There wasn't much we missed like that week off because a lot of it was just the four. Whatever college football playoff games, and I mean those aren't really much to talk about.
Yeah.
So.
Well, mine are men's basketball games. They're actually very, very mentionable, at least in my mind. Just how looking forward for the Michigan Wolverines because both of them include the UCLA Bruins, who are now in the Big Ten.
I have them
so
too.
Both these games at the bottom of that
list. How can you not put them in? Because they've been struggling the last few years, and then they come to the Big Ten. Kind of, we weren't expecting them to be like huge right off the gate in the Big Ten, but they go out and beat Gonzaga by 3. That was a huge win for them. It looks like they're going to be a real team for Big Ten this year.
Yep, that's one of them. And then right after that, they take a loss to Carolina, unfortunately. I mean, Carolina needed a bounce-back game, apparently.
That was a tough spot because that was in Carolina, too, wasn't it?
Florida, so.
Was it?
No, that was in
UCLA.
Was
that UCLA Carolina one?
No, both games, UCLA was a home team.
That's a tough game for UCLA because UNC, that was almost like UNC had to win one of these big games. Like, they can't just keep losing these big games, so. Yeah, I mean, you'll take it. It's still beat Gonzaga. Splitting those two games, you would take that in a heartbeat. Unlike us, where we lose by like 1 point every time to a big team.
So, yeah, I put those at my 4 and 5 spot just to give them a little bit of a mention, talk about something else that happened during that time that wasn't college football because, obviously, college football wasn't that great.
I had
to watch.
UCLA at the UCLA-Gonzaga game. That was my 4. I'll just give them my 1 because when are they ever going to be – on my one or probably your one ever. It's Toledo beating Pittsburgh 48-46. Got to give love to Toledo. That was an awesome game to watch. I mean, it meant nothing, but it was a fun game to watch.
I couldn't believe that it was still going.
I know,
into
and
overtime.
I mean, and Pitt like, kind of had.
Like,
I thought Pitt.
This is like
Pitt
okay.
Had control of for most of the game, and then just Toledo just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, they had a 10-point lead, and they just fumbled the 10-point lead.
So I had to give Toledo a little. Lost. I put them on my number one list, entertaining. And my number two was the Iowa State Miami game. It was just like a crazy back and forth game after Miami's quarterback quit. I mean, yeah. I'm not gonna fault Cam Ward for stopping. I mean, he went out there to break a record. He didn't even have to play, so it was kind of hard to judge it, but. It's almost like you put like a true athlete into that situation. I mean, like how can you like pull yourself from a game when like the competitive nature wants you to play? I can see it both ways, but I just feel like a true like competitor with your teammates are gonna want to be in that game the whole time. But it was still a good game, and
yeah, you want.
And I understand it.
You want to be in there for your guys at the end of the day, and then like if you're trying to look out for yourself and try to save yourself,
he's a possible top five
future.
Pick, so I can understand like get in there, get your touchdown, and get out. But I see both sides. It's just kind of like a hard decision for him to make, also. But it was a good game. It was a fun game to watch, also.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was a great game to. You know, watch it. You know, all of media always keeps an eye on that bowl just because it's the Pop-Tarts bowl. You can eat the trophy, all that goofy stuff that happens to it.
Like the Duke Mayo
it's
bowl,
crazy
where you
how much
get dumped with mayo.
Well, did you see what Duke Mayo did? Like in the reaction of the Pop-Tarts bowl, they made a post to where there's a Pop-Tart, like it's like an actual Pop-Tart, and it's got mayo on a piece bitten out, and then there's mayo on the edge of the bite.
A nice
like,
creamy bite for them. A nice gooey.
No.
Some butter's no, goo on the Pop-Tart.
You want some mayo on your Pip-Tart?
It's Tom Brady special goo on the Pop-Tart.
All right, so my other two in my top five were the Commanders-Falcons game. I mean, Daniels and Penix was just back and forth. It was like watching like a freaking old school.
Two young guys,
like,
and Penix looked good. Football, Penix looks like he's going to be
like
for real.
Going at it, I mean, and yeah, like it just didn't even look like Penix like should have been sat out the first half of the season.
I understand.
After watching that, you're just kind of like, I understand
because I'm always like, on the ship of you get a high drafted quarterback, don't let him start right away unless you absolutely have to. It's just not good for them. I mean, it's very few times as a quarterback that's.
I mean, it's still been working out for Dan.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't work out all the times. He's a freak.
But
it was a great game, and it was fun to watch those two young guys play.
At three is the Vikings-Packers game. I mean, I was sitting there watching that. Obviously, you know, they were trying to force us to cheer for some cheeseheads, I guess. I don't know. I'd rather it be for all the marbles. Me, I was like, no, I don't care about this outcome. I'd rather if the Vikings win, sure, let's make it all for the marbles. If the Packers win,
it makes it for exciting football in Week 18.
Either come –
There's two games that are worth watching, or three games worth watching in Week 18 now.
Like, because that was the thing about me is it's like watching that game. It was like a win-win situation, no matter which team won. So, and with it going 27-25, and like Sam Darnold doing what he did, that was a game. Like I enjoyed like every second of that game, even though it was pretty low scoring.
But it was entertaining. It was a fun game to watch. You know, but, my last one was the I had Bengals and Broncos. Bengals 30, Broncos 24. I want the Bengals to make the playoffs, and they're about one game away. So. And
that was probably a better game to put on Christmas Day rather than like whatever day you put it on.
Yeah, the Christmas Day games were just
if you ask me,
Christmas Day games were just a joke. Bengals, I hope they make the playoffs because there's not one AFC team that's going to want to play the Bengals in the playoffs. That offense is way too good. Their defense is terrible and most teams will beat them, but you just don't. That's a team you don't want to play in the playoffs.
All right, and then we're going to move on to our honorable mentions. We've added this in from the previous four episodes. We're trying to figure out what we want to do, but obviously the honorable mention is Michigan, and they bring in this new segment because obviously we want to give them a good shout-out for beating Bama 19-13 in the ReliaQuest Bowl when both of us Michigan fans thought we weren't going to have a fighting chance at all.
I just sat down, relaxed. I was like, I'm not even getting mad at this game because this is not going to be a fun one to watch. And then, lo and behold, SEC does it for us again. Go SEC.
The first three scores are Michigan. What's going on?
It was like the first four possessions for Alabama were turnovers. I was like, holy crap, what is going on? I was hoping it was just going to be monsooning the rest of the game because that was working in their favor. But even after the big rainstorm, that's
Florida. That's just how the state of Florida is.
But I thought SEC country always just rains and sunshine. Like they should be used to playing like that.
Yeah, they should be used to playing in Alabama. Alabama's not that much further than Florida.
And not only that,
it's basically a home game for Bama at this point, right?
And just for the honorable mention, Alabama played like all of their starters. They played every single starter, pretty much. They had a linebacker, Justin Jefferson, who's, I think, projected like 20th in the draft, and he played. They didn't sit anyone. Michigan sat literally everyone, almost. Besides the guys that are coming back next year, they sat everybody.
And we didn't even have Don either.
We were missing both of our running backs, two of our starting offensive linemen, I think a receiver, two defensive backs, two defensive linemen, a tight end, a punter, and the holder. I mean, that just
goes all the way back to the same mentality as next man up. You gotta step up when you're the next man up.
I know everyone wants to say
because I'm sure Alabama fans would sit there and say, "Oh, we're missing not as many as that one,"
but like, it's like not.
But I know, like that's the thing too. It's like I can just hear the others in my head right now. Like, oh,
all I hear in my head was, like, "Bowl games don't matter. Bowl games don't matter." But right before this game, this whole week leading up, it was supposed to be Alabama's revenge against Michigan for beating us in 2024. We're going to beat the crap out of a -15.5 spread. And then as soon as the game's over, it's, oh, this is a bowl game. We didn't really care about it that much. And not only that, this win for Michigan over Alabama made it. This is now since 2007, Alabama's had at least 10 wins. So it's been like 15 years since they've not reached the 10-win mark. And that is why I also think they scheduled Michigan against Alabama so they could get the 10-win mark. So it was just a great day. I could have cared less if we won, but I loved winning just so that Alabama couldn't get to that 10-win mark and an SEC lost. It was great.
You know, the last time Alabama lost a bowl game, not in the college football playoff.
Probably that same year, 2007.
Saban's first coaching
year. It was that year, wasn't it? Or no, it would have been 2008 after, because he, 2008 was the year he got hired after the 2007 season, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was basically they haven't not won 10 kinda wins crazy. Since Saban.
Before
Saban. So it's like, yeah, that was awesome. It was just great. Not even for Michigan to win, just for them to lose. It was amazing. And they were supposed to be in the playoffs. So it was just, yeah.
All right, so my gut reactions, I mean, like I said, all the marbles for the NFC North between Minnesota and Detroit. I can't wait for that. And yeah, Happy New Year, Alex. It's been great. We're almost six hours out.
So it was a great way to end 2024 right there. Beat Ohio State and then beat Alabama on New Year's Eve. What a great day. My gut reactions were... What's going on with ACC in the bowl games? Their only win is
Syracuse over Washington.
One win.
State.
That's insane.
And then they've got two more left. They've got Virginia Tech against Minnesota.
Charlotte.
And then Ole Miss versus Duke.
So the SEC can stat pad again. I hope Ole Miss loses. I hope Ole Miss. The only reason I kind of like Ole Miss is just because I like Lane Kiffin. I love his demeanor. Lane Kiffin like just cracks me up. He's hilarious on Twitter and everything. But yeah, other than that, my other gut reaction was the Big Ten and the SEC in basketball. Like Big Ten's kind of surprising me. It was with like we talked about earlier. Like UCLA is coming on. I don't know how good USC is going to be, but like the Big Ten's got some pretty good teams right now, and we're getting right into the Big Ten. So this is going to be interesting.
Oregon's top duck, and they've only got one loss. I don't know how they're not up there, like in the top 10. Like they're number and nine, but they're not up there in the top talks like everybody else, like Oklahoma and Tennessee.
And Oregon plays it. They have a tough one, don't they? Here, this coming up, they're one of their first Big Ten games is. I had it on the schedule, but I couldn't remember who it was. I know it was the top game that they have to play. I mean, it's at home, but yeah, you got like.
I mean, yeah, they got a home game, and then they got to go right on the road.
So, I mean, you got like Oregon, Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State, UCLA, Indiana, Wisconsin. Like, they're kind of looking loaded, and then SEC's loaded this year also. So, it's almost like ACC might be having a down year in basketball this year because UNC hasn't been that great. Duke's really the only powerhouse right now for them. So, well, I guess we'll see once these conference games starts playing, but it's not going to be an interesting one this year.
Yeah, Carolina definitely had like a really low pre ACC.
Yeah, they were.
Season,
I think like to start the season, they were like least. Five like, or six or something like that.
Yeah, and they dropped pretty well, and so like Oregon's got their only loss to UCLA,
and that's
the big, other
that's a big, that's
team,
a big one because
right?
that's a Big going Ten loss.
Going back to them, but their next game is against
that was
22
it. Yeah, the Illinois game
at home. And then Maryland.
Yeah, those are two tough games. That's no, those aren't cakewalks.
But it seems like they got USC. They got a win at USC.
So they're 1-1 in the Big Ten right now.
Because at least, they're 1-1 in the Big Ten.
No, that's not bad.
It's not bad. And
but yeah, that's
with their only loss coming out to inside
Big Ten. But that's
Big Ten and having a undefeated basically. Outside record, that's definitely a good thing for them to have, like especially going for a tournament. They'll probably
get a good seed. As long as they just don't fall apart in the Big Ten play. So I guess we'll see when the conference play starts here in the next few days. Yeah.
So, all right, moving on to our entertainment segment. We're going to talk about the college football playoffs here. We're moving on to the second round tonight. We got Penn State, Boise State. What we think about that game? Just talk about it real quick. Like I think Penn State's gonna probably get a good win over Boise State, but I don't think they're gonna run away with it. I don't like that 12-point.
I didn't like it either.
Say that much.
I think Penn State wins. I don't think they're gonna crush them. I mean, they could surprise us and crush them, but Penn State hasn't really crushed a lot of good teams this year. It's been more of a close game with them. Penn State's their mantra is defense. So, I mean, it's basically can you stop Genty from running 300 yards against you? I mean, but this is the same Boise State team that almost and should have almost beat Oregon. So, this isn't a slouch of a Boise State team. But numbers on numbers, Penn State shouldn't have a problem winning this game. So, I would like Penn State on this one. I don't like betting on this one as much because, like you said, I have it later in my bets. I like the under. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you there. And then we're going to ask the question of which second round game could possibly an upset?
Ooh.
Out of all four. Which one? I'm going to agree with your earlier picks and say Notre Dame over Georgia, because I kind of doubted Notre Dame. The way that they beat Indiana and how they looked against Indiana was like surprising to me because I mean I guess I just didn't watch that much Notre Dame football, like, to be honest.
Notre Dame did what they had to do after that embarrassing loss against Northern Illinois. They beat the crap out of everyone else they played. I mean, I know their schedule, everybody's like, their schedule is not good, it wasn't good, but it doesn't matter. Your schedule is your schedule at this point. And they beat the crap out of everyone they played. So, I mean, they looked the part. So, yeah, I have Notre Dame over Georgia also. I've just got to stick with what I said earlier. Georgia without their starting quarterback, that's huge. So, it should be a good game. I think Notre Dame has the edge. The other one I said possibly was the Ohio over Oregon. I don't know. I don't like that game's going to be – it's just going to be a fun game to watch, honestly. It's going to be tough to watch that one. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, if I had to put money on either one, I would put Notre Dame beating Georgia.
I hear you. And then which second-round game can look like the first round? Like, because that first round was just absolutely just unentertaining. I'm so sorry, college football playoff. But we want – better matchups, not blowouts.
I know we want better matchups, I mean, but the same at the same token, of the day, though,
like you could.
It's like you're saying, like in the college basketball tournament, you still have your top team. So it's almost good that like the top seeds are beating these lower high seeds by a lot. Lower it means seeds. They got it right. Like these are the top teams that are in right now. But yeah, I obviously want them closer. We'll get into it in the next one. But the one that I think that would look like the first round is the Texas over Arizona State. I thought it could be a closer game, but now Arizona State.
I agree
State,
with you.
Arizona State's been coming out talking crap nonstop the last like couple of days, and I think Texas just not only just wants to win a national championship, I think they just want to beat the crap out of them too. So Arizona State hasn't played a defense like Texas. Texas arguably has the best defense in college football and a good offense. So I think it's gonna be a blowout.
Yeah, I totally agreeing with you over here. I have the same game. Like, yeah, I feel like Texas is just too powerful for Arizona State, and Arizona State's not going to be able to keep up. Moving on to the next question. What does the college football need to learn from the first round? I'm asking this question because I already answered it myself to think that the strength of schedule – needs to be leaned on a little bit more than the team's record. Because to me, if you're playing a strong team and you do everything that you were supposed to do, but you come down to like a one game, like 1 point loss, 2 point loss, you should get a little bit more props than another team who played, I don't know who, and they completely lost.
I agree with you in a sense.
Like, that's just the thing. Is like if you have three losses to
it depends on the
Alabama,
losses. It depends really on the
good,
losses.
And then you have three losses to.
That's also I'll agree with you to the point where the strength of schedule should matter, but at the same time, strength of schedule doesn't account for who you lost to. It's just who you played. So like you could have the number one strength of schedule, you lost two games, but you lost to two FCS teams. That matters to me. Just because you had a really hard schedule the rest of the way, you lost to two FCS schools. That matters still.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's like if you're just like taking like a two-loss team, like they lost to Alabama and Ohio State, and then a two-loss team, and they lost to like Illinois and whoever. Like you're just like
I agree. But it's just like with the Alabama, since I know we hated on Alabama. Alabama was a great team. They did not deserve to make it to the playoffs. They just didn't. Like they could have a top 10 strength of schedule, but you lost to 2 6-6 teams. That's not you can't have them jump a one loss SMU, a one loss Indiana. I know their schedule was not the great, but they deserve to be in over you. They just deserved it. They played in a power conference. They only lost one game. They can't control how good the teams are that they're playing. That's out of their control. You can't fault them for that.
And that's not the team that I'm faulting right now. The teams that I'm faulting is...
I know you're faulting, but...
is really, really who I think should be there are two, I would say, military schools. Very big win for Navy over Oklahoma. That was a really great game. I don't know if you watched it. I watched all of it. That was amazing, dude. And like why are we?
The reason why I don't think they make
if they were in, they probably would have given somebody a good run.
It would have been close, but I
with them being Oklahoma like that, that would have been like. But again, I would probably rather have like that kind of game.
But that was also a 7-6 Oklahoma team too. So it's like that wasn't a good team that you beat.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why they didn't make it in was because they both got absolutely blown out by their only really tough game they had this year. It wasn't even close. Like Notre Dame beat the crap out of them, both of them. So I think if it was closer and or they squeaked one out against Notre Dame, that was a lot more ammunition for them to jump. You can't jump SMU. That was the problem that the committee was facing, because you cannot punish a team for losing in their conference championship game. You just can't do it. Because what's the point? Like if you were supposed to go like play a powerhouse in your conference championship game, you had no hope. What if we're just going I'm just gonna forfeit this game. We don't want to play it. So how are you gonna they're just not gonna play. but they still have one loss. See, the eye test wasn't there, but there's one loss. Like, you can't fault them for losing the conference championship game. The team that should have been out was SMU if they could have just lost before the championship game. Because I didn't think SMU deserved to be in. Because their schedule is terrible in the ACC this year. I mean, ACC wasn't the greatest, but they did what they had to do to make it into the playoffs. So, I mean, it was tough. Overall, I think they did pretty good with picking the teams that needed to be in. Yeah, you could have had definitely a lot more competitive games, like obviously throwing Alabama in the mix, throwing these other guys, but they didn't deserve to be in. It's just like you guys still have to play the games. What's the point of playing a regular season if you're just going to give them the playoff spot no matter what anyways? But
I get you there. Like that. Yeah,
you still got to play your schedule.
If you're trying to, if you're trying to find like a team that actually belongs in,
it's hard. But I don't mind these teams getting in because it's just like college basketball. You might get a Cinderella game where it's like, oh my god, look at them! They just beat two teams in a row now. That'd be awesome for it. It didn't happen this year, but it'll be awesome for it in the future if it does. But the only thing I think the college football needs to change, I mean, not really from the first round, but mainly just in the format itself. First round, I think you need to take the top four teams, not just because you won your conference, get the bye. It should just be the top four teams get the bye. So I don't think a conference championship should automatically get you in, but not the first round bye. The first round bye should go to the top four teams still. So, like, Arizona State should not have gotten the first round bye. Yeah. Neither should Boise State. They should not have gotten the first round bye. It should be the top four teams remaining. They get an automatic bid in, but that's it. And then the only other thing I would say that they need to change.
And they get probably like one of the lower rankings or maybe a possible like eight.
Then you could have had
host,
like a Boise State versus Indiana, Arizona State versus SMU. It would have been a lot more entertaining game for at least the first round. But the other thing I would say was for the future, what I really think they should do is like after the first round, they reseed the next round. Don't change the rankings. You need to reseed the matchups. Don't just have it in a bracket format. So your top remaining teams were left. That's now how you're going to play these top four teams left. So,
because if you do get the Cinderella,
has to play the top seed remaining. Yeah. That's how they should do it. Because what's the, like, I mean, honestly, like how crappy is it for Oregon right now? Obviously, I mean, it is what it is. But why? What was the point of being the number one overall seed? Your first game is against Ohio State. Penn State, the 5 seed, gets to play Boise State. Texas gets to play Arizona State. Like, really?
Yeah, I get that. Because, like, if you're going back to what you were just saying about Iowa State and Boise State getting those automatic bids,
flip Texas, put Texas seedings in one of them, and the other, whoever the other 4 seed was.
Yeah, like you literally just flip. Yep. You just flip those two to where Iowa State's like the lower,
and then you would have better.
You could have had Boise State or Iowa State playing
totally Oregon, which then you would get the blowout for the number one seed, which is fine. I'm okay with that. That's how it should be. But yeah, I think they need to reseed in the future just so it's fair for the top seeds to like deserve the top seed then at that point. Like, that's what's the point of being the top seed if you're just going to play the number 3 team now in the first game you have to play?
Yeah. But it'll make it for an interesting matchup. That's probably why they were just let it be.
Let it go. It's been fun this one. We have a few good matchups for the rest of the way.
All right. And that will bring us up for the upcoming week. Why is this not playing? Oh, because it's on mute. Duh, Alex.
Oh, man. The blooper.
Oh, man.
The blooper.
The blooper. The blooper already. All right. Anyways, upcoming week, top 5 games to watch. Obviously, I've got the Ohio State Oregon Rose Bowl game, as my number one game to watch. I'm sure it's probably in your
top
5
as
well.
My top 2 are the games coming up: the Ohio Oregon, Notre Dame Georgia. They're gonna be fun games to watch.
Yeah, I've got Notre Dame Georgia at 3 because
right
Detroit
there
Vikings,
which is my number 3.
I
already knew you were saying it.
Oh
saying
my
it.
Goodness!
Those are the top. Those
How
are the top three teams
that
or games that are going to be fun to watch this coming up weekend. I mean, you got two powerhouse, or Ohio-Oregon might be the game of the year again. And then you got Notre Dame-Georgia, where
Like, yeah, that's...
Yeah, Notre Dame, Georgia were... I mean, Notre Dame could possibly upset Georgia, and it should be a good game. And then you get the battle for the NFC North.
Yeah, and all three of them should be great games, like, coming up tomorrow, and then obviously on Sunday. I believe, you know, I will be very entertained, no matter what, with the Notre Dame-Georgia game. The other two... I have a bias to I want somebody to win.
That's fair.
So yeah, like it'll be a good week of watching those three games for sure. And then my two to finish off the top five are two games that I will be working coming up.
Probably the game I have on my mind too. Just guess, Florida, Kentucky.
Just knowing well.
See.
Well, yeah. So that's Saturday, yeah. Right? Guess what's coming on Tuesday for these Gators? Tennessee. Number one, Tennessee coming to town, coming to Gainesville. That's the number five game they're playing on Tuesday. Play. Yeah. They're starting the SEC off hot.
They're challenging.
Real hot. Like, I looked at the schedule. Like, I just looked at the schedule. I was like, wait, they're playing who right after? Like, we're going to Kentucky. Got to play the Wildcats, and then that possibly could be like a I don't know what do they call it a
trap game
to the number one seed Tennessee at home. I don't know. Like
top 10 games you got to play. Like which one's the trap game?
Which one's the trap game?
It's challenging Florida's undefeated season here. So let's see if they are for real now.
For sure. Yes, the next two games are definitely challenging. It's going to be challenging two undefeated seasons in the second game if Tennessee stays undefeated too, because they've got one game to play before they play the Gators in
Gainesville. I think Florida fans will be ecstatic if they come out splitting it. I think they'll even be okay if they lost both, but really close.
So my prediction is I think the Gators are going to keep it rolling. And they're going to win it in Kentucky. They're going to come back home, and they're going to fall to Tennessee because they just I can't see it happening. Like they're going to lose their gas, but it's not going to be the next game. It's going to be unfortunately a home game against Tennessee because like Tennessee's just got rolling. They're the other undefeated team. If Tennessee falls the first game, they're definitely going to bounce back and beat the Gators. Like I'm sorry, like it, like if it's you know, fortune happens to be that way, but I don't see it happening.
I think if Florida, like realistically, Florida fans would be over the roof if they just split these games, just win one, lose one. I think they'll even be okay if it's like you lose to Kentucky by two, you lose to Tennessee by one. Even if you lose both games and you only lose by one basket, like I think you're still okay. It's like you're proved to yourself that you deserve to be up there with these guys. So. It's going to be a true test for them.
Yeah, because, Tennessee's first game is at home against Arkansas. So.
That's the way I felt. That's the way I felt when Michigan had to play, like, Oklahoma and Arkansas. It was like, I would love to split these two. I would be okay if we lose both if it's a close game, and it was. I feel confident with them, even though they lost both games. They arguably should have won both games. But, yeah, I think... It's a true test for Florida. We'll see how good they are now.
Those are my top five.
Yeah, we already just kind of went through both of ours together. And then my last one that's different, it's kind of like a caveat on it because it depends on if he plays, is Eagles-Giants. It's worth the watch because Barkley's going after history. I know it's one more game than he had to play, but I think he only needs 101 yards and he broke the single season record. So that's... It's worth watching. It's one of the only other games to watch.
This is how the season goes. Like we've added games. I think we should add another week. Like I said,
You can't throw an asterisk on it because
last time we were talking, we were talking about this. Like I think the season's fine. We need an extra bye week, and then you end up putting the Super Bowl literally President's Day weekend. Nice. Like how do you not
or
do
just
that?
Play?
How do you
or just
not
play
do
Super
that?
Bowl Sunday like early?
Like no.
Or on a Saturday, Super Bowl Saturday.
Like because it's a Sunday before a holiday, a President's Day Monday.
Oh yeah, if you went one more week, if you went
President's Day is a national holiday and that's what I'm saying. Like you just add one more week to the schedule, you have an extra bye week for every team, so every team will have two two bye weeks.
Or just take
one.
A week off before the playoffs start.
Which I think it will definitely help.
Even if you didn't want to add another week, just take an extra – just take 1 week. Have that, like, bye week for the playoffs. Like, after week 18, after
and
week –
that way the one seed gets two bye weeks in a row. Oh.
After week 18, just
– that might be a little too much time off for the one seed. I mean, if you make it eight and then you do that, sure. Like, because then – because, like, I feel like that's a little bit too long of a wait for – For
or
any
start,
team, like
or
you,
just start
you
the
want
season
just
a week
one
later.
By week.
Like, there's an easy way to fix that. Just start a week later, and you're good. Like, no one really cares. Really, I mean, we're watching college football at that point anyway. So, but yeah, that was my Eagles Giants because you can see Barkley possibly breaking a record. Which, if he does play, I think he's good because it's against his old team too. Would be just like all of it, just perfect for him. Team doesn't want him anymore. He leaves, and then he goes and breaks the single season rushing record against him.
Yeah, that I get that. That definitely is something to watch for sure. Getting that rushing
That'd
rushing
nice
touchdown
or rushing yards. Yeah,
rushing yards. I'm kidding.
Yep.
All right, so moving on to our fantasy focus. That was dying out very bad.
You got it on time this time.
Anyways.
Yeah.
It
was much better than the first one.
Much better than the first one. Anyways, with this segment of Fantasy Focus, the season is over for fantasy football. We do want to give some awards out, having a little award ceremony going on today. It will be very nice, very... Yeah.
Give him the golf clap.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it, everybody.
Give him the golf clap.
Yeah, give him the golf clap. Give him the golf clap. All right. So, for the MVP award, I've given my MVP award to Lamar Jackson. He gets it for having 485 points for my fantasy team. I had him on two of them, and he had a 30-point average per season.
It made playing fantasy really easy for you when you have him and Derrick Henry.
Very easy.
Like, oh, I don't even need another team. My MVP award, I have to give it to Barkley just because based on where he was drafted. His average draft position was either late first or most of his drafts were like in the second round. So to get him in the second round and just put up those kind of numbers he just did this year, it was insane. So he's my MVP this year. He might be the NFL MVP, too. You got to watch out for that one. That'd be interesting.
He probably could be, especially like if they do what they need to do and make it all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's possible. All right, so the rookie award. Mine goes to Brock Bowers. Good, great tight end. Has a great starting season for him. Has 193 points and then had a 13-point average for a tight end. That is very high. Very good for a tight end. Obviously, coming in right behind George Kittle.
I like it, bro.
So, I mean, it was the only other guy on the leaderboard in front of him.
So,
at
mine.
The season.
Oh, get the golf clap in.
Got to get the claps in every time, bud. We got
to
cheer them on.
My rookies came down to four of them. I was leaning Brock Bowers, but since you said Brock Bowers, I can't go with it. We got to get someone different in there. So
we got to give this award to somebody else.
It came down to me, it was Malik Nabers, Bo Nix, and Brian Thomas Jr. Only one of those teams is contending for a playoff spot, so I got to give it to Bo Nix. Bo Nix would be my rookie of the year for fantasy, just because he just was kind of like a late bloomer, and he took the absolute nowhere Broncos into a playoff contention right now. So, and he had great numbers. He put up really good fantasy numbers for people, carried a lot of them into the playoffs. So, yep, Bo Nix, rookie for me.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. I like that. Very, very well. Very well put together. All right. Now, moving on to our best single game stat
award. I didn't look at your stats. You better not copy mine.
I'm going with Josh Allen. Dude puts up on week 14 against the LA Rams, puts up 57.8 points for the team, 342 passing yards, three touchdown passes, 82 rushing yards, three 3 rushing touchdowns, so 6 touchdowns total. That is like standing ovation. Let it all out, everybody. Like, yeah, he deserves that.
I wanted to put him, but I didn't want to be boring and pick a quarterback. So, calling you, Alex, you're boring.
Well, that was the thing. Is like, yeah, I felt like I was I was like, I'm picking a quarterback.
But no, it
again,
was. It was six,
like,
touchdowns. That alone, three rushing. That was an awesome game.
Yeah. So I like when I saw that, I was like, yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't pick Jared Goff. I thought you might have picked Goff.
I wanted to.
Mine.
You know, I wanted
to. I got to give it to.
The
best, probably fantasy pick. That honestly, one of the only ones that out of the top 10 picks that you could have picked this year in your first 10 picks deserved to be picked where he was, and no one felt bad about drafting, was Ja'Marr Chase. He had actually 2 games where he had unbelievable numbers in those games, but the one that stood out the most where he had 11 catches, 264 yards receiving, and 3 touchdowns, given a half point PPR, it was 49 points. So full PPR, I think it was like 54 points that he put up as a wide receiver. That's insane. So, got to give it to Ja'Marr Chase for that game.
Nice. All right. Now, moving on to the Comeback Player Award. My Comeback Player Award goes to Sam Darnold.
I didn't.
I mean, we can get to the same guy at the end of the day. Because he, like, this dude just.
Unbelievable.
That was quite the turnaround, dude. Like, I mean, I'm a Lions fan, and I'm not looking forward to this game against you. But I can't not hold it. I want to give
it. It might have been the easiest one to give to.
It's
an awesome story for him.
Yeah,
someone like, who's been thrown around and then comes out with almost an MVP year and leads his team to possibly an NFC North battle. Yeah. So it's awesome for him.
Yeah. So good job, Sam Darnold. Comeback Player Award, came back, did what you needed to do.
I'll give another one, we can get another guy a golf clap in. So kind of the same situation with Sam Darnold. I'll give it to Baker Mayfield. He, I think, finishes like top
Baker.
5. So give it to Baker.
Yeah. Baker's had the team coming back.
They can still win their division.
They're looking for a playoff run. Still, yeah, looking for a division win.
And he had
an
unbelievable fantasy year, so good for him.
Yeah. All right. So all fantasy teams, me and Kyle have come up with an all fantasy team for each of us. I'm pretty sure we're somewhat similar. We've got 2 quarterbacks each, 2 running backs each, 3 wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, defense and special teams, and a kicker to fill out this all fantasy
team. We'll just go one at a time. You give me your one. I'll give you mine.
Go one at a time.
We'll see how close we are.
All right, I got Lamar Jackson at my QB1.
Should be MVP.
All right, and then I got Josh Allen at my QB2.
I had to give it to Lamar Jackson, so I had Burrow and Jackson.
I got you. So we had a similar.
I wanted to put Josh Allen in there, but Jackson's not fantasy wise numbers were insane.
Yeah. So yeah, just like those two, like those three alone. Like I could see Burrow sneaking in there.
Joe Burrow has the best stats out of all.
Joe
Burrow has the best stats out of all 3 of them. If he literally had 10 wins and was winning their division, he was the for sure MVP this year.
Yeah, I definitely feel that, and you just got to feel.
But he can still make it.
A little bad for him that he doesn't have those wins. But yeah, he can still make it into the playoffs. He's still got.
All right, who's your RB1?
He just needs to, Yeah, so my RB1 is Saquon Barkley.
Saquon's my one. Easy, that was an easy one.
And then Derrick Henry as the QB2. Because I've had running back two.
We've said the same on the 1 and 2. I was torn.
So same.
I was torn
same.
That one because I have a feeling we have the same flex then. Because I wanted to put him as my number 2.
Yep, we both definitely probably have the same flex then. Gotta go with Sonic.
I had Gibbs too, because I had a hard time choosing between Henry and Gibbs. But I think if Gibbs play, if Montgomery was hurt all year, Gibbs would easily been number 2. But
yeah,
so yeah, there's your flex out of the way because we both have Gibbs. I knew he was going to put him there after I saw Henry.
Yep.
So he's got to get in there.
Yep. And so I got for my top 3 or my two my three running wide receivers. I got Justin Jefferson, wide out one.
Wide out one is Ja'Marr Chase.
There you go. I've got him at my three because right in between I've got Amon-Ra St. Brown for two and then Ja'Marr at the three. Yeah,
Chase, Jefferson, and St. Brown.
just a different order.
We might be different on tight ends because I already know who I think who your tight end is.
Oh, no. Hopefully it's recording what you're saying.
Oh, there we are. Yeah. I was just saying, I'm assuming I can already guess probably who your tight end is, so we might be different on this one.
No, my tight end's Kittle.
George Kittle. I thought you were gonna go Brock Bowers.
I actually had him on one of my teams, and he did pretty well week in and week out. I think I could rely on him more than I could Laporta because I had Laporta on all four of my teams.
Oh, I thought you were gonna go Brock Bowers for your tight end.
Yeah. I wanted to. Oh no. All right, we're back. Oh, you restarted it. No. Yes, because I'm the studio. Yeah, we're good. We just have to like. Where do we start? Where do we finish off? Because I can clip them together.
Okay, so we're good.
Tight ends. All right. My internet went out.
Sorry about the technical difficulties. I don't know why it just froze on us, but now, my tight end, it got a blimp. Thought it was mine for a minute. No, my tight end, I like yours. That was a good one. Kittle was surprised by it because people didn't think he was going to be as good as he was this year, but he did. He actually performed really well for him. My tight end was McBride. I loved him. If that dude had just five more touchdowns, he would have been tight end one for the year. I think he finished like tight end two with only one touchdown, and that was literally last week, which was crazy. He was averaging the last 8 weeks, he was averaging, I think,
catches
for 120 yards as tight end. It was insane how many.
A good tight end to put in there for the all fantasy team. All right, moving on to our defense and special team, since we already covered the flex position of Ja'Marr Gibbs, aka Sonic. My defense and special teams goes to the Broncos. The Broncos defense and special teams. Yep. I know Ja'Marr
Gibbs flex.
Didn't have the greatest season as a team, but fantasy points wise, they had a stellar season. They barely, they had that bend don't break mentality that most defense has, and that's what you need for your fantasy team. Yes, exactly.
They did. And they put up big numbers for fantasy defense. So my defense I chose was the Vikings, so I think was like only like 5 points less than the Broncos. Their defense looked really good, and I mean they've played good all year. They and their team's possibly winning the NFC North, so they're in there for the contention for division. And
I like
still
that. That's
basically
that's
one of the
very
best
good
defense.
They had a
fantasy
very great season.
So I give the Vikings on mine.
They're gonna be either the one or the five seed. So yeah, I get that. Making the all fantasy team. All right, and then our kickers. My kicker goes to Chris Boswell.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The Boz. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
All around.
Probably the same. Yeah, the Boz.
Sure. Like it's just.
I think in total fantasy points, he was able to do that. 20 points better than second place.
The Cowgirls. Anyways, moving on to Gambling Men. Our next segment here with, some gambling. Got to put some money where our mouths are. So, got to do it. So, our top five picks for a parlay this week coming up.
Got to do it.
Want to review how you did recently or?
Let's do it. Last week? Yeah, let's see. I forgot which ones I put on there last week, but I did record how I did.
Nice.
I think I had a push on one.
Nice.
And then I finished 3-1 last week, so it improved my overall in the parlays at 10-9.
We will be restarting that every season.
It was a better week. It was a much better week.
Cool. Yeah, so because I have no idea where I'm at anymore because I'm just sitting as an actual parlay.
We restart every season.
And it's like either hit or miss. And 10-9, it's like,
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm liking this one. I've already.
I like them. I'm not gonna hit all of those.
Single dollar down on each one,
unless I'm putting some teasers in there.
Oh, and I've got a little bit of a player prop with it too. I mean,
I kind of like mine too.
Not completely. No, I'm actually, like, you know. So here we go.
Interesting. I'll let you do your five so I can go put mine on
like,
my
that's the thing
right
is like
now,
I'm just keeping up with the spread and what it's like to put it all together and then just put the money in for it. And like you're just like, all right, 10
what it's
bucks
gonna
for...
be. Let's see.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you got one of those, just use that.
Hey, look,
good.
And look at this.
So starting off,
I got
my
a new sweat
one. I've got the
so
Vikings
that
to cover the 2.5 point spread against the Lions. That's at -102.
Yeah.
All right. So kicking off with that. Got the Chiefs to cover the 10-point spread against the Broncos. I don't think Broncos are gonna win by 10 against the Chiefs. Like what is going on there? Vegas.
Not by that much. I have that one's on mine because that's a lot.
Yeah, it's just like
actually,
what's
well,
going on?
I put that as my don't bet on it.
Do?
Don't bet on Denver minus 9.5. So it's like kind of like the same thing.
Don't do that. Anyways, and then I've got the Bengals money line for the Bengals to win. It's a must-win game for them. They want to make it to the playoffs. They're gonna find a way. I know it's against the Steelers.
It's a tough one.
But at the end of the day,
it is a must-win.
Joe Burrow's gonna be like, all right, guys, this is it. Like. This is our game. Like he's gonna like have a fire underneath everybody's butts. Like for that game. Like if anybody, because the dude's been balling. He's gonna he's got to go talk to his teammates and be like, hey, you got to step up today. This is it. And I feel like they're gonna come through. I mean, that's just how I feel. So, and then I've got the kicker. All right, here's the kicker. Sharks over Flyers. +145.
Yeah, I like it.
No, they lost. They lost by one in overtime. They lost by one in overtime.
Did you hit your Sharks one last time?
It was against the Avs, though. It was against the Avs.
You missed that one.
Like,
ooh.
I mean, yeah, I could have, but still.
Dang.
You know, I like money lines more than spreads.
Should have taken the spread then at that point.
Like if you go back to our recent episodes, Kyle, I barely take the spread every now and then. Like this is probably second time. Like these are like my probably second and third spread that I've taken in my parlay. And then
spreads are hard. Spreads are hard. Yeah.
Tonight as well, because both these hockey games are actually tonight. Red Wings over Penguins.
I like it.
I'm really liking the turnaround. I'm really liking the turnaround. Like the Caps are a good team too. They're the they're in the top like six.
They did have a good win over Caps.
It's turnaround time, boys.
They outplayed them big time. So I do like that.
So that's my
Detroit wants to turn around. Now's the time. They're gonna have to start at some point here. So I like it. Putting your faith in it. Nice. All right. So I just put mine into my bet slip and made the bet for you. So there you go. I have Penn State, Boise State, the under of 54.5. I don't think it's going to be a really high scoring game. I might just lose this parlay tonight. So we'll see. But I do like the under in this game, 54.5. That's at -110. I did my number two is Texas, Arizona State. I like the Texas spread of -12.5. I truly think Texas is going to beat them pretty good. So -12.5 on Texas. That's -110. I took Oregon plus money since they're plus money for some reason, +2.5. That was -110. I took the Notre Dame money line on Georgia. That's -105.
Nice.
And then I took your Lions money line over the Vikings, -160, to give me a whopping
five-bet
parlay for +2,100.
Go to some new equipment for this show, I guess.
It's a big one.
I don't
expect to hit it, but you never know.
It's all right. We'll be fine. We'll all be okay at the end of the day.
It's okay. I got a no sweat token on it.
And so going into our top player props of the week, I've got Larkin anytime score tonight with the Red Wings over the Penguins. Locked in as a parlay. And then I've got Gibbs anytime touchdown, and then Josh Allen anytime touchdown. Yes, I'm calling a running touchdown by Josh Allen. I am so confident.
Oh, are you so confident that he's going to play?
Just do it.
Those are scary right there. I don't even know if he's going to play. My top player props. So I'm 6-3 overall. I was 1-2 last week, so that brought my record down. But I am 6-3 overall in my player props. So like you, I have Gibbs anytime touchdown. I think he's going to score. Pretty much I have the Vikings Lions in this one. So I have Goff over 1.5 touchdowns and Darnold over 1.5 touchdowns. And then with Gibbs getting a touchdown. So pretty much all Lions Vikings in this one. I think it's going to be high scoring, so I feel like
I'll erase my Allen.
Gibbs anytime touchdown.
Anytime touchdown.
Or rushing.
And
so
How about this? Barkley over 150 rushing yards. Bet. I don't know what it is, but let's just go with the over 150 because like that's probably somewhere near the minimum that he needs. Go with that. Oh, he needs only 101.
I would say for a good, because he only needs 101, and I think they're probably going to put
95. So probably right. I think they're going to put at 95. Like, so let's go with 95.
Like if I had to guess, be safe. 90, all right. So I'm with you. I would take the over on his
Barkley
rushing yards if it's
over 95 rushing yards. How's about that?
Yeah, right. I think that's probably safe.
Rework that last tidbit for me for the player props of the week. All right, so don't bet on it. I've only got two for the don't bet on it this week. Any New York teams?
I like it.
Don't bet on them. Don't touch them.
Kind of the same. Kind of
Giants,
the same.
Jets, Islanders, Rangers, Yankees, Mets.
Yeah, don't touch it. Yeah, don't touch it.
Just don't do it.
Not worth it.
I mean, unfortunately, they're just
worth it. Just don't do it.
Just don't do it.
They're just gonna disappoint.
And then my other don't bet on it is the Ravens Browns
game.
Yeah,
don't bet on
them.
Don't bet on Alabama.
So disgusting to me. It's just like it's so lopsided to the Ravens side. It's just like, am I gonna actually like win money if I bet anything on any Ravens like thing like? Give them money.
And Ravens don't have anything to play for.
Let me just hand a piece of dollar to a Raven and just here you go.
I'd almost put money on
the
Browns.
Thing,
just...
though, it's just like, yeah, like it's so lopsided to where if the Browns actually, because
I don't think they're gonna play
win,
their players.
You're
so,
winning
I mean, that
a whole bunch
goes
of money.
I don't bet on.
The chances of it actually happening because Ravens need to win.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You might want to put money on the Browns to win that one.
Just no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they've had their division.
That's why,
don't they?
It's like, that's why they're playing all at the same time because both, Baltimore needs to win. But if Baltimore loses and Pitt wins, Pitt's the, I believe so. That's got to be why they're both playing Saturday night. Like, I swear.
Pitt jumps them nice. Yeah. So my don't bet on it is basically the NFL. It's probably why. Now, mine are, I got Broncos -9.5, don't touch it. Or if you just want to touch the Chiefs.
Yeah, they both just have a playoff berth clinch.
Yeah, Broncos, I don't think are
Ravens are
11-5.
And
they could surprise
Pittsburgh's
us.
At
do, but that's
10-6,
a lot
so,
on
yeah,
the spread,
yeah,
so just, I wouldn't really touch that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's,
oof, that's going to be fun.
Yep.
Yeah, so then that's why it goes into my second don't bet on. Don't bet on the Cincy Pitt game. Because they both have something to play for now at this point. So I have no idea. I think if Cincy can score like three touchdowns, I think they're going to win. Because I just don't think Pittsburgh can score as much as Cincy can, but they just have a really good defense. So just don't touch that one. And then, yeah, that's basically I have two. My third is just don't bet on the NFL games this week. If it has nothing to do with, like if their games don't matter, don't touch it. Just do not bet on them. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Like how can you bet on a game when both teams have nothing going for them? So you have no idea. They might be playing backups. So That's just like going with the Bills. The Bills could lose this week, and you never know that. Because they're not probably going to be playing their starters. So
homeward
that's
kind bound. Of
don't touch.
We go.
Don't touch the games that don't mean
all right.
in the NFL.
With homeward bound, I'm going to lead it off with the Lions find a way to win again. I don't know how we can keep this going. It's stressful. But at the end of the day, we're getting wins. It's awesome. Like, this is like, what?
if your defense can hold up, luckily.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean.
Yep. And
I mean, luckily, you guys are playing at home. So
it's actually like it's an extra playoff game for us.
That's the only reason why I put money on Detroit over Minnesota, because you're playing at home. It's a true toss-up game.
We win, we get a bye, we lose, we still keep going, and we got to play
really
on the
is.
Road.
It's like the playoff game started for this. So yeah, I'm with you on that one. I have no idea. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So this is a true toss-up. I have no idea. It's going to be a fun game to watch. I think it's going to be high-scoring, so it's just going to be good football. Packers, I got Packers. They're just same thing as last week because they already clinched their spot, basically, from last week, so... They're just going to be a tough out in the playoffs. It's a team you don't want to play, really. It's just kind of like how Cincy is on the other side.
I hear you. And I got a question.
They're not going to get blown out.
We've added the Panthers into this homeward bound.
You just don't want to have to play them.
For football. What do the Panthers really need for a rebuild? Like, what do you think they should be looking for?
Another... I would say if you have to when you're in the top, I'll just say 10 in the NFL draft, you have to drop the best available player, not what you truly need. If it's the quarterback at that spot, trade it and move down if you don't need it. But you should be taking the best available player. So if it's an offensive tackle, I mean, luckily the Panthers really can't get hurt either way, whichever way they take their pick. They honestly need either another weapon at wide receiver, an offensive tackle, or anyone on defense, truly. So, I mean, they're in a good spot. Like, I wouldn't be disappointed with any of them. I know Carolina fans will be disappointed if they go out and draft an offensive tackle or a defensive lineman or something, but it'd honestly be good for them to do that. But depending on where they draft, I would say either a wide receiver would benefit them the most, offensive tackle, or defensive lineman, or a linebacker.
I agree with you there. After he got benched, he definitely came
back. I think they're
going to
stick with Bryce Young for another year.
You know,
he
tied it together and got his work done and did his part.
Because, I mean, like look at the Chargers. Like, when they had that top five pick this past year and they were all mad that they draft Joe Alt as an offensive tackle, but now look at them. Their offensive line looks so much better because they have a solid offensive line now. It's like it's not a sexy pick. It's the right pick. So as long as they just don't reach for a guy, just take whoever's the best player available. It's going to benefit
you one way or the other. Wolverines you get a superstar wide receiver and the Deeks.
Or a boring
Wolverines
line, help
basketball you. Should end up in the top five Big Ten season. That's just kind of a prediction for me. I feel like they're going to have a great season. There's a lot of talent there in the Big Ten to play against. I have barely watched any of it, to be honest, other than the Wolverines themselves. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think they easily should be able to finish in the top five in the Big Ten. I could see them squeaking in like with a 6 seed, 7 seed, possibly higher. But to be safe, I would probably say like a 6 seed in the tournament.
That would be pretty cool.
They finish like fourth in the Big Ten, third in the Big Ten, then I could see them jump into like a 4 seed in the tournament. Yeah, I think they're a tournament team, unless they just have a tremendous choke. I mean, they already have 10 wins, which is two more than all of last year. So unless they just straight up choke the rest of the season, which I don't think they're going to do. Their team is so talented. They just got to stop turning the ball over. It's killing me watching them play because they are electric when they don't turn the ball. I mean, even when they turn the ball over, they're still averaging 20 turnovers, but still put up 90 points a game. So like, if they just don't turn the ball, if they could just get the – they're averaging like 16 turnovers a game. If they could put that just immediately like 11.
Yeah. All right. 12. And then
they're going to be blowing out teams.
Red Wings. I'm really liking the Todd McLeland as the new coach, but they've got a lot of work to do for sure to turn the season around that we want. Yep.
They brought back Yzerman's friend. I love the hire. He's an old school Red Wing, so that's good. He knows how to win, and he knows how to win in Detroit. So that's all you can ask for as a coach. He was there in Detroit in the prime of Detroit Red Wings hockey. So if you're going to have a right coach for the job, he's the guy. And he was a successful coach everywhere else he was at. So why not have a guy that's known to – I mean, obviously he wasn't the head coach of Detroit, but he was an assistant there.
We need to get rid of this guy.
I love the hire. I think it was too late. They should have done it a couple weeks ago, but I guess when I said on this podcast like 4 weeks ago, I was like,
I'm sure they're trying to get things in order, get things in line to where they knew how much they could pay him before they could hire him.
But it is what it is. It happened. And hopefully they can turn the tides. because I love how when they announced the firing, it was like they announced the hiring before the firing almost. It was like Tom McLuhan and this assistant coach are joining the Red Wings as the new head coach, and then it's
Rick
like
is fired.
30 seconds later, and this Derek LeBlanc's fired.
And that ends our
Derek's fired.
Little segments here. I mean, you're fired, not much Rick. Else to Happy New Year to everybody. Enjoy some college football playoffs.
Good week.
We'll be coming back next week with some NFL playoffs because it'll be NFL playoffs time for next week. And
the Rose Bowl game.
Check out what we got to say for our week in review and our upcoming week next week. And hopefully I can convince Kyle into some fantasy hockey talk. Maybe we could do that for Fantasy Focus instead. But till next week, guys, y'all have a good one.
Yeah, we might do some fancy hockey. I might need to pay attention
this
a little bit more.
This and That Podcasting Podcast. I'm Alex Bauer.
Three-peat's going down. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm Kyle Dobis. Happy New Year.